The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
We've been sitting down for a while. I want to specially, respectfully request that we stand just for a minute to pray this prayer. And what the Lord is impressing on my mind is very, very strong. And I had a confirmation during the prayer time led by Pastor Oke. For some time now, there's been this verse coming to my heart. And that's taken from the book of John, chapter 13, verse 17. Jesus Christ, after he had ministered to many people, the disciples and the rest, he came to a very important conclusion. He said, "Now that you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Now that you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I tried to check on another translation of what this could mean. And then I found out that it means, now that all these things are clear to you, happy are ye if you do them. Thank you. It's important that all that you have been hearing and all we continue to hear must be clear to us. Because there are two key things that I want us to pray about there. Clarity, very important, and obedience. If you know all these things, happy are ye if you do them. That's obedience. Clarity, if you know all these things, if they are clear to you, we're going to pray for clarity. You know, because it is not a good thing for us to be coming to this mountain all the time, and then your life still remain the same, and we still continue to talk about the same thing over and over, and there's never been any change in your life. I pray the Lord will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. I want you to just lift up your hand and say, "Lord, give me clarity of your word. I need clarity of your word. I need clarity of your word." Obedience becomes easy when there is clarity. But when there is no clarity, there is little or no obedience. When you don't understand, you know, it's beyond just knowing it. It's beyond just preaching it. It's beyond just telling the people. But you must have a clarity, a clear understanding of what you are going to, of what you are hearing. You know, the message at the day of the Pentecost was so clear to the people. And the people say, "Oh, what are we going to do? Yes, we have heard you. We understand what you are saying. But just tell us, what is the way out? What are we going to do?" And Peter said unto them in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 38. And he says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of the Lord. And they shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And lo and behold, 3,000 people were added unto the church because it was clear to them. Raise up your hand once again and say, "Lord, everything I want to be hearing on this mountain, oh Lord, today, tomorrow, let there be clarity of your word. Give me understanding of your word. Give me clarity of your word in the name of the Lord Jesus." It's important you do this. It's important you pray for clarity of the word. Thank you, Father, King of glory. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now there was this man that came to Jesus. He was born blind. And then Jesus touched him. And Jesus asked, "What did you see?" He saw truly, but he was not seeing clearly. He said, "I saw men like trees walking." There was no clarity. So I saw men, even though he was blind before, but he started seeing, but then he was not seeing clearly. There was no clarity. And if there's no clarity, you can misjudge, you can make mistakes, you can misunderstand if there is no clarity. And that's why that prayer point is very important. Not until he received a second touch. You're going to put up your hand and say, "Lord, I need a second touch. Lord, I need a second touch for clarity." I need a second touch for clarity. Lord, touch me once again. Touch me once again, that I may have good understanding of all that we have been told, all the teachings, all that have been deposited into our lives. Lord, give me understanding. Give me clarity. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And lastly, before we take our seats, clarity is absolutely important. Now, in the book of Daniel, the king summoned very, very brilliant young people, full of understanding, full of wisdom, and he gave them some assignments. But do you know that for other people, the assignment wasn't clear to them. It was clear to Daniel. And that was why he decided that he will not defile himself with the king's portion if he's going to succeed in that assignment. Because that assignment was clear to him. The Lord will give us clarity. We will understand him better. And our life will be better. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, King of Glory. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shall you be seated, please? Thank you very much. God bless you. Now, I'm going to be speaking on the place of prayer in a flourishing ministry. The place of prayer in a flourishing ministry. And I'm happy that people who have spoken earlier, there is almost all of them mentioned the importance of prayer. So for us to flourish in the work of the ministry, there is a central place of prayer. And the Lord will give us understanding about this in the name of Jesus. I'm going to first talk about the facts about prayer. I'll be talking about important tips, you know, about ministry, about having a flourishing ministry, and the nexus, that is the link between prayer and a flourishing ministry. Now, while I was preparing for this, I laid my hand on one book written by Kenneth Hagin. The book is entitled The Art of Prayer. And when I was going through this book, at the concluding part of the chapter of the book, and I was able to bring some things out. First, the art of prayer, including intercession and supplication, has been virtually lost in the church. I don't know how many of us agree with this. And he said, early day Pentecostals knew something about it, just something. And the second generation of Pentecostals knew a little, just a little about it. The third generation of Pentecostals know almost nothing about it. The charismatics knows almost nothing about it. And then he concluded that, you know, for God to accomplish what he desires to accomplish here on earth, the art of prayer have to be resurrected. And I agree perfectly with the submission of this man of God. For us to have a flourishing ministry, the art of prayer has to be revived. And this is the reason, one of the reasons for our gathering. And I pray the Lord will revive our prayer life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the power of prayer is least exercised by an average believer. Our present temperature of prayer, you know, needs to rise if we expect a flourishing ministry. And that is the truth. In fact, we do not have any business being in a leadership position if we are not a prayer person. But the Lord will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. I want to thank God for this great ministry of ours. We are in the right place. Now, the theme for this year's ministers' conference is the flourishing minister. That's a sub-theme under Overflow Forever. I pray the Lord will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, let me summarize what I have in the passages listed in the paper from the book of Luke chapter 11, 1 to 13. The disciples, they came to Jesus Christ and said, and asked Jesus, please teach us how to pray. Because they understand the importance of prayer. Teach us how to pray. After all, John the Baptist taught his own disciples too. Teach us how to pray. And Jesus accepted, and then he taught them and gave them, you know, the manner on how to pray. You know, the pattern of how to pray. And then he went ahead by telling them, ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. So it means we got to ask first. It means we need to knock. And then it's important for us to seek if we really want something to happen. I pray the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, in several places in the Bible, we see, you know, our prayers, you know, did wonders. Prayers, especially in the life of the apostles. I'm going to get this soon now. Now, to the born again soul, prayer is essentially as breathing. And to neglect prayer, you know, will definitely result in weakness and defeat. It's not only important that Christians should pray, but it is of supreme importance that every child of God must pray. So what is prayer? Somebody defined prayer as the address of a poor creature on earth to a great creator and a loving father in heaven. So we have a loving father in heaven who is willing and who is eager to listen to you and I, you know, and who is very willing, you know, to be there for us anytime, any day. So when we talk about prayer, it's not a one-time affair. It is it's an ongoing conversation with God. And that's why it's important that, you know, the word or the phrase praying without ceasing must be the default of every believer. Praying without the ceasing. It must be our default today. I pray the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Talk about all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. Prayer is the key that can unlock it. That is talking about the importance of prayer. A man of God named Murray McKinney, he said, a man is what he is on his knees before God and nothing more. So as a child of God, if you are never on your knee, you are nothing. You are what you are on your knees before God. And that is emphasizing the importance of prayer. Irrespective of, you know, your calling, whether you are a pastor or an evangelist or a leader in one unit or the other, you know, it's critically important that we pray before we, you know, bring anything to the people. I read the account of one pastor, John Flavel, a Puritan pastor. He was to preach in a certain congregation in the morning, and the whole congregation, they gathered together, waiting for him. And this man of God was not showing forth. What's happening? And then, one of the leaders in the church went to his study to find out, possibly to tell him that, the congregation is expecting you to come and preach to them, to go and tell them the word of God. But when he got to where this man was by the door, he heard him saying something. He was saying, I am not ready to go. If you are not going to go with me, I am not ready to go. That's what he kept on saying. I bet the leader thought he was talking to somebody. And so when he opened, he saw him, no, on his knees, talking to God that if you are not ready to go out with me, I am not going out to go and speak anything to these people if you are not going to go with me. I pray the Lord will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. How many times have we stood before the people even without any formal preparation? How many times have we, ushering people, or as choristers, have we just ministered in songs even without any preparation at all? I pray the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. We need to understand that prayer, planning, and preparation will prevent poor performance. It's important for us to, prepare prayerfully, plan prayerfully before we stand before, the people to speak anything to them. Whether you are giving announcements, whether you are leading the worship, whether you are the scripture teacher, or whether you are preaching, to the people, it's important to first, go before the Lord on your knees and request that the Lord go with you. The Lord will give us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me quickly talk about the types of, prayer, recommended in the Bible. The kind of types of prayer that the Bible teaches. Number one is prayer of consecration. And this is dedicating our lives for God's use. We must present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. So prayer of consecration is one of the prayer type that the Bible teaches. Prayer of faith is also there, in which case we are bringing our petition to God, in which case we want God to change certain things that we don't want, so prayer of faith. Prayer of commitment is another one. In prayer of commitment, what you are simply doing is that you are casting your cares upon Jesus in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. In prayer of worship, Bible teaches prayer of worship. Bible teaches prayer of agreement. If two shall agree as touching anything, it will be established. And it works. It works. It works wonder because it's the word of God. Prayer in the spirit. Prayer of supplication. Intercessory prayers. Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. Say, even if there are a certain number of people, we used to destroy them. Intercessory prayers. So there's different types of prayers. So how many of these prayers do we pray, or have you been praying? There are several types of these prayers that we can pray. The Lord will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why do we need to pray? We are all called into the Christian ministry, whatever your level of service. And then when we talk about Christian ministry, it is very, very demanding, especially for the pastors. Some people don't believe that pastors are even human beings. A man of God, gave some message and he said, "In your name, pastor." Pastor can break his leg. Pastor can have COVID-19. Because in your name, pastor, a lot of people don't even believe that, boy, you're a man for pastor. Abi, boy, pastor, what a man need challenge, koko. Many people don't even know because the expectations about you are so high. The expectations about pastor are so high. Very enormous. Pastors are expected to be super Christian, powerful leaders, steadfast theologians, financial wizards that will be able to meet every need in the church. The expectations are so enormous. And that's one of the reasons why we need to pray. Otherwise, if we are unable to meet those expectations, people look down on you. People see you as somebody who God has not called. The pastor is expected to have the wisdom of Solomon, preach like Apostle Paul, have the faith of Peter, lead like a chief executive officer, have the mercy of Mother Teresa and walk in humility. Those expectations are very, very enormous. And then for us to be able to meet those expectations, we need to be on our knees constantly before God. I pray that the Lord will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say that there is a place of personal prayer. One of my fathers in the Lord, Pastor Barry Geshin, also said this when he was talking about altar, personal altar. Because there's no amount of corporate prayer that will make up for lack of personal prayer. Personal prayer is very, very essential for a leader, for any child of God. Yes, it's good to pray as a group. It's good to be in corporate meetings for prayers and so on. But then, the main key to your own personal growth is your personal prayer. So if you are not a prayer person, then you should not be found in leadership. I pray the Lord will give us understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if your church is not a church of prayer, let me ask, how is it different from just a club? That church is not a healthy church. A church that is not praying is not a healthy church. One of the marks of knowing whether a church is healthy, go and find out. No, the prayer conditions in that church. It's important. So our church is not just, it's not a mere club. It's not a club. It's a gathering of the people of prayers. Men and women of prayers. The Lord give us understanding in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to dwell much on flourishing. Our daddy and on the first page of this book, the meaning of flourishing has been clearly defined and very, very clear to all of us. When your life flourishes, the glory of God unarguably will manifest in your life. You will experience the unspeakable joy of the Lord because this will fill your heart. The love of God will ooze out of you all the time when you are a flourishing minister. No. Another important blessing of flourishing, you know, as a minister, is that it consumes every negative doubt of the enemy. So we must flourish. The Bible says the righteous will flourish like a palm tree, and it will grow like cedars in Lebanon. And that's why, you know, I have to be emphasizing on the importance of prayer. Shortly, I'm going to talk about the nexus, you know, prayer and flourishing ministry nexus as we go. Now, there's nothing of value can any man acquire or can accrue to anybody without prayer. Prayer is our key to God's door. It's our foundation to the exercising and growth in the faith and essential our witnessing life. Prayer is the power behind. Prayer is the power in the midst, and prayer is in the front of our faith. That is to tell us the essence and the importance of prayer. Without effective prayer, we cannot be effective in any work of the Lord. Lord, will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I heard of a story of a pastor. The church was flourishing very well for a period of time. At the time, things started getting down and down and down. And the pastor was saying, what is really happening? He went to the Lord and said, God, what was happening? And God showed him that, oh, the woman that was praying for you, when all these things, great things are happening, just died. It's just to tell us the importance of prayer. That there was a woman praying for you, and that woman had died. Okay? So that's the reason why things are going down. So that's to tell us the importance of prayer. So whatever we are doing in his vineyard without prayer is trying to do the work of God without God. I think it's high time we stopped doing the work of God without God. The Yoruba people will say, Isheta abarani, tonti yalomani. So it's important for us to stop doing the work of God without God. Doing the work of God without God is just coming before the people, no prayerful planning, nothing. And just say, okay, is it not just to just read to them? No. Ministry is beyond that. The ministry work is beyond that. It's not about experience. It's not about intellect. It's not about your... It's a spiritual matter. It's not something you can handle with your own wisdom or human wisdom. The Lord will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the nexus, prayers and flourishing ministry. Now, we see so many things that happen in the Bible. They were born out of prayers. The first church, the early church was born out of prayer. No wonder when Peter started ministering to the people, the heart of the people were pricked. Why was the heart of the people pricked? Because prayer had already gone. You know, a lot of prayer preparation and planning had already taken place. And that was the reason when he prayed that message, the heart of the people was pricked. How many times? Of all the time that you have been in the ministry work, whether as a choir, a chorister, or as a pastor, that you saw somebody possibly crying or weeping because as a result of your message. Cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, help me. How many times have we witnessed that? But what we've been witnessing over the time is the people clapping for us. Oh, right on, Pastor. And you know, the excitement that does not come with change of life. That's what we've been witnessing, because there has not been, you know, a great time of planning, a great time of preparation, a great time of prayer. The Lord will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, one of the reasons why the disciple had a flourishing ministry was because early church, like I said, was born in prayer. We all read about the result of gathering, you know, of the disciples on the day of the Pentecost. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, before he started his ministry, what did he do? You know, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to go and do what? To go and pray. And he prayed. So he gave us that example. Prayer preceded and sustained Jesus' ministry on earth. So if we want a sustained ministry, we must pray. We must be people of prayer. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. You know, when they called on Jesus about Lazarus and Lazarus had died, Jesus did not just go there and say, Lazarus, get up. He could do that, but he wanted to show an example of the power of prayer to us. He said, Father, I thank you because you had heard me and you always hear me. But for these people to believe. So he prayed, and then Lazarus came forth. So prayer preceded the rose of Lazarus from death. If you want any significant thing to ever happen in our church, we don't want to just be going, you know, the way we've been doing it, you want a change, then we must give ourselves to prayer. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. I read from the book of Daniel. Daniel was perpetually relevant in different kingdoms, because he never judged with prayer. For the sake of Daniel, unrighteous decree was repealed. For the sake of Daniel. And the book of Daniel chapter 6 verse 28. I always use that place to pray for myself. The Bible said, and this Daniel prospered in the reign of this king, in the reign of that king, he prospered. You know, in continuous prosperity. He prospered. They always look for him because, you know, he was given to prayer. And because of this, even the mouth of the lions was shut because of, you know, of Daniel. This is a man that has given himself to prayer. Pray the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Even though many of us may not know the great work of salvation that Jesus did for us by laying down, you know, his life. For you and I, when we list what? You know, we read in the Bible how Jesus was praying an agonizing prayer. Agonizing prayer. And the version says that Onton Jadilare Ruege. It was an agonizing prayer. And it was saying, oh Lord, if it were possible, I don't think I'd like to continue with this. It wasn't an easy task. But he said, but the will of the Father must be done. And this is what we take with levity. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus prayed agonizing prayer to prevent the devil from thwarting the work of salvation of mankind. There are several other exploits, you know, wrought as a result of people who prayed. Elijah, for example, You know, he prayed and he shut the heavens and he opened the heavens again. Joshua made an unusual declaration. He said, "O ye moon, stop. O ye sun, stop." And the Bible recorded that such has never happened till date, that a man will cease the whole day, the sun will stop and the moon will stop, because a man can pray. That is to tell you what prayer can do. A church, to be very truthful to all of us, can never experience true growth if it lacks prayer. Pray the Lord will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me conclude. It's important, it's possible, it's possible to have a thriving ministry without a thriving relationship with God. But it's going to be for a very short time. It's only temporary. Anybody can fake it in the short time. But for you to go far in the work of the ministry, you need a passionate devotional life and continual closeness to Jesus. And that's the cross of the matter. It's important for us to understand what is needful in the work of the ministry. Mary and Martha, they were with Jesus. Mary was sitting down with Jesus, listening to Jesus. And Martha was running here and there, you know. Well, she's not doing what is not correct. I mean, she was running here and there to please Jesus. She wanted to entertain Jesus. And then Martha said, "My Lord, why don't you speak to my sister to help in this running errand thing that I am doing?" And Jesus said, "Mary had got it right. You are just laboring over things that do not count. We will not labor over things that do not count. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Look at what Paul said. He said, did he say, "Number one ambition in life is to start churches"? No. Did he say, "My number one ambition is to get the word in heaven"? He didn't say that. Did he say, "My number one ambition is to win people to Christ"? He didn't say that. That wasn't his number one ambition. He says, "My number one purpose in life is to know Christ, that I may know him." That I may know him. Not until you come into personal encounter with the Lord Jesus and you have a thriving relationship with the Lord Jesus, can every other thing fall in place. I pray the Lord will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul never stopped hungering for God. Prayer is absolutely important. I pray the Lord will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. At this time, I want us to rise to our feet. You're going to lift up your hands unto the Lord. I don't know the way you have been doing the work assigned to you before, but now I'm sure it's a little bit clear to you that, you know, there must be a difference. We cannot continue to do the same thing the same way and expect a different result. So you're going to lift up your hands unto the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't want to be beaten about the bush again. I want my life to count for the kingdom. I don't want to be wasting my time, my life, my energy again in things that do not count. Lord, give me direction. Lord, give me understanding of the work that you have given unto me. I will not do the work of the ministry without the owner of the work. I will no longer do the work of the ministry without the owner of the work. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Thank you, Father, King of glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Precious Father, we want to thank you for the little time that we have spent, especially on the link between prayer and a flourishing ministry. Lord, my God, King of glory, we know on our own we cannot achieve anything. Therefore, Lord, we pray that you breathe upon us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go back even to our churches, oh Lord, things will get better. Things will be different. We shall do exploit for you more than ever before. Where we have been crawling before, we begin to run. Where we have been running, we begin to fly. And where we have been flying, the Lord himself, he put us even on his shoulder. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, King of Glory.